Okay, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Isn't he good? Isn't it awesome to know God? Just so wonderful to know Jesus. So wonderful to know him. I'm just so glad that the things that we talk about is not a dead religion or a religion that consists of only form and tradition. I'm so glad that we have an awesome Savior, Jesus Christ, who is a part of our everyday life. And we are praying in the prayer room this morning, talking, just praying about how Jesus, we just don't bring Jesus into our life. He is our life. He is our life, the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. So wonderful to walk with Jesus. And I hope that we as a people have this in front of us all the time, that Jesus is our life. We don't only talk about the life of Jesus. He is our life. And that when we think of John 10:10, where it says that Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That little word life there in the Greek, it's zoe, Z-O-E. And it actually means a life that is God-like, or life as God has it. And so when he talks about abundant life, he's talking about Jesus has come, God has come in the flesh, so that you and I could walk in the God kind of life here on earth. Jesus walked in the God kind of life here on earth. And he has come that we might do the same thing. And the scriptures teach us that we are in a place of transformation, that as we come to Christ, we make our commitment to him, and he comes in us by his Spirit and causes us to be like him, and we begin this awesome transformation now, not only out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, but out of being a child of the devil into being a child of God, amen, into his image. We come into a place where we are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And that's an awesome, wonderful privilege. And just as we've been worshiping this morning, some things have been stirring my spirit that I want to share with you. And one of them is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, in the Apostle Paul. Well, we're going to talk in a few minutes, I think, a little bit about prayer because of it's our great responsibility. And Paul talks about praying a lot in the scriptures. And in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you." So Paul is praying that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So praying for someone to walk in the strength and power of God is a biblical prayer. It says, "So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen. Isn't that an awesome statement? Paul is praying that you and I might be filled with all the fullness of God. I like to put it this way a little bit, that we might be full of God. And so that means if we're full of God, then there's none of me left. That God comes in and fills every part of our being. God fills us up, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Therefore, our desires, our attitudes, the things that we want in the future are all consumed by the presence of God. And therefore, they are in line with God's will and God's purposes. Oh, I pray that prayer over me myself a lot, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I pray it over you a lot, that we as a church, that we have a body of Christ, might be filled with all the fullness of God. There might be nothing else but God. Everything will be God, 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 God. He goes on to say, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." According to the power that works within us. So that tells me that there's a power in us. Amen. And he's praying this prayer that we'll be able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. In other words, he's saying that he prays that we'll be able to do things that we can't even imagine yet, that we can't even think about yet. That God's going to bring us into some things, some miraculous situations that we're going to be able to, we can't even think about, that we would have never asked this today. But he wants to bring us into some things that are even greater than we can comprehend with our mind. Praise the Lord. And he says it's done according to the power that works within us. according to power that is resident within you and I. He wants us to do that. And when Christ came into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and imparts power to us. And we know that from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It said the Holy Spirit is going to come upon us and he's going to give us power to witness, to do things, to demonstrate the kingdom of God upon the earth. And so there's an awesome power there. And the reason why he wants us to walk before him with clean hands and a pure heart is because he knows there's an awesome power residing within us. And if that power has to work through an impure vessel, then it might get polluted. Might end up doing some stuff it shouldn't do. Might end up being caught up in some stuff it shouldn't get caught up in. That's why it's so important for you to walk in holiness before the Lord. And always asking him, Lord, what's in my heart and my mind today? Examine me. See if there's any wicked way within me. Cleanse me from any ungodly thoughts. Because we want to work, if we want that power to work in and through us, it's got to work through clean vessel. God wants to do above what we, beyond what we can ask or think. But he knows that as there's a demonstration of power, as there's power released, as there's anointing released, that it's going to take vessels that are going to be able to hear his voice. And by the way, that's what we're going to be talking about on Wednesday night too, is how to hear from the voice of God, how to hear the voice of God. And you will hear the voice of God as you come. God will say some things to you. It is so important for us to be able to hear his voice, because no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're caught up in, no matter what kind of power that God is using us in, we still have to hear his voice to know what to do with that power. Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Wow, that's awesome. According to the power that works in us. Say this with me. Father, I'm so glad that your power works in me today, now. It's working in me, transforming me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Now, it's important for us to remember that. It's important for us to remember that the power is in there. And one of the main sources, or one of the main reasons, or the main purposes of the power, first and foremost, in a Christian's life, is to see that they're transformed into the image of Jesus. Now, there's no sense in saying, Lord, give me power so that I can pray for people and see them healed. Give me power so that I can do this or do that, if we're not concerned about being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the power is first and foremost there to help us be a witness to Jesus. And the first things that the people seen about Jesus, one of the main things they seen about him was that he was a compassionate person. He walked in compassion. The scripture says many times that he was moved with compassion and healed the sick. That's one of the characteristics about the Lord Jesus Christ. He cared for other people. That's why people wanted to be around him all the time, because they knew that he cared. They knew that he cared when he seen people who were distraught, seen people who were alone, seen people who were shunned by society. They knew that Jesus cared. If nobody else cared about them, they knew Jesus did. And so they flocked to him and tried to touch his garments and so forth, not only to be healed of their diseases, but also just to be with him, because they want their friends. You ever have a friend that you just want to be with them? You don't necessarily need anything from them right now, but you just like to be in their presence? You know, that's just sometimes I think about that. I can be driving along sometimes, and I can think about another person. Yeah, I'd like to see them. I'd like to be with them right now. Not that I need anything for them, but I just like to be in their presence. I just like to be around them, because we all carry a supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us carry a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. That supply is resident within us. And as we bring it together as a body of believers, that supply is all poured together, and it becomes a corporate supply, a corporate power, where we can do so much more together than we could if we were all alone. We all carry, and we carry a unique supply of the Spirit of Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean that God has something in us uniquely. There is something in you and I that can demonstrate a characteristic of God that nobody else can. Just the same way as we have our own DNA, our own fingerprint, we have a supply of the Spirit of Jesus. We carry a supply of the Spirit of Jesus that through which we can demonstrate a characteristic of our Father God that nobody else can. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Dan, there's something in you that is unique and that God wants to demonstrate himself through you that only you can demonstrate. Only you. That's why, and God is looking for people all the time from whom he can demonstrate himself. In other words, he can flow through to demonstrate his character. That's an awesome thing. You and I have an awesome responsibility. And so we don't want to rip God off and rob him of the opportunity to be able to demonstrate that particular part of his character. You see, God is so big, it takes all of us Christians in the universe to demonstrate himself to the world. He's so huge. You know, I can start thinking about myself and about maybe what qualities I have or what qualities I don't have. I can run out of things to think about pretty quick. But when you start thinking about God, he's so big, you just go on forever. He's so huge, and it takes all of us to demonstrate his awesome goodness. And he wants to do that to us all the time. Now, over in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul again praying that he was willing to give up everything that he might gain Christ in Philippians 3:8. More than I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He was willing to give up everything, and Paul had a lot of things. The Apostle Paul had an extremely high status, high class, a high place in society. He was a Pharisee. He had studied the scriptures. He had everything going for him in the Jewish culture. He was looked upon as someone who would rise to the very forefront of what God was doing in that day and the religion of the Jews. And yet he said, I gave that all up. He had to give all that up to declare Jesus Christ as Lord. Declare Jesus Christ as Messiah, because the Jewish people condemned Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, I should say, and the Sadducees, and the religious people of that day, they condemned Christ, not necessarily Jewish people, but the Pharisees and the religious people, they condemned him. And Paul had to give up all his high status in life in order to gain Christ. Give up everything. You see, sometimes we present Jesus as almost a freebie. We say, it doesn't cost us nothing. Come, it won't cost you anything along at all. Come and you'll be able to gain Christ. Come, it'll be freely given to you. It may be free to us at the time, but it's extremely costly, extremely expensive. Jesus paid the price so that he could come into our lives and save us. He paid the price so that you and I could be delivered and set free. Very, very costly. And the apostle, so there are some things that you and I have to be willing to die to in order to gain Christ, in order to gain his power, in order to gain his influence in our lives. Now, I want to ask you this question today. What are the things that you need to die to? When you think about it, what are the things in your life that you need to die to? Maybe you've already become dead to some things in your life that were appropriate, but what are the things in your life today that is holding you back from experiencing Christ in a new level, in a new way? There are things that we have to evaluate every once in a while. There are things that God wants us to look at and say, oh, are you willing to give me this right now? Are you willing to allow me in this particular area in your life? What are we willing to die to? The Apostle Paul died to his reputation, his name, everything that he had worked for all his life up to that stage. Everything. He said, I consider it all rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Verse 9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This was a desire that Paul wanted. He wanted to know the power of the resurrected life of Christ. The resurrected life of Christ always comes after a death. You can't know the power of the resurrected life of Christ until you die. I'm not talking necessarily about physical death here. I'm talking about a spiritual death. I could not know the resurrected power of life working, of God's life working in my life until I was willing to submit and die to my own ways, to my own life. There can't be a resurrection without a death. And God is calling us to resurrected life in Him. Now, the last part of this, I'll tell you really, truly, I don't pray that a lot. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I don't pray a lot about, help me have the sufferings of Christ. You know, suffering is not something that you and I enjoy. And that's something that none of us enjoy. But I found out in the Christian life that there is a certain degree of suffering that we must go through if we're ever going to experience that resurrected life. Really. We have an awesome power within us, folks. An awesome power within us. Now, you might say, well, I don't see much of that power in my life. Now, remember, we are living in a Christian experience that operates in the area of faith. And belief in something very easy when you can see it happening in your life all the time. But faith operates in an area where you can't see the product of what you believe in. You can't always see it. There's a time before seeing it. When I got born again and come into the kingdom of God, I had to get myself in a place where I was willing to agree with what the Word of God said about my life. For instance, I couldn't believe that I was righteous. Couldn't believe that I could be a righteous person. And then I found a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 which says that He who had no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God. I didn't see myself as righteous, but I started looking into that scripture. I started thinking about that scripture. I started realizing that Jesus Christ has paid the price so that I could take on His righteousness. And if I could take on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm righteous. You too. If you can take on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you come to Him and you pled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over your sins, then you took on His righteousness and you became righteous. Now, I didn't see myself righteous. I didn't understand that I could be righteous, but I seen that Word of God. I seen that verse in the Scripture. So I decided to believe what the Scripture said instead of what I thought. So that took faith. Instead of what I thought about me, some of us have to look upon our lives and some of the things that we've done, and we can't get our head around seeing ourselves as a clean person before God because of some of the things that we've done. Every one of us have done things that we don't want anybody else to know about in the past. But God knows. And we know that. And if we let it, those things that we did in the past can condemn us. But it takes faith to realize that Jesus has washed us clean. Amen. And even though if we don't feel clean, we have to step out in faith and declare that we are clean before God. That God has washed our sins away. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Glory to God. And so we, by faith, we believe that. We take a hold of it by faith and believe that I am clean before the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Wonderful to be clean. Wonderful to be clean. Praise the Lord God Almighty. I've heard so many testimonies in the past that when people have come and they've received the Lord Jesus Christ and they're walking around some days and they just say, I just feel like I've had just a real good clean shower. I feel so clean because those things have gotten away from me, got off my back, this condemnation of being dirty. And sometimes there's a spirit that comes along with our sin and just constantly makes us feel dirty. We can never be clean. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, cleans us. Comes in with power and cleanses us, makes us whole, so that we can stand before our awesome Father God and expect to hear, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. God has got that message for you today. that you are his beloved son, you are his beloved daughter, in whom he is well pleased. He is pleased in you, whether you know it or not. If you give your life to him, you've decided to declare Jesus Christ as your Lord, he is so pleased with you. He's so glad. He's so happy. He's so thrilled that you're in his family. He's pleased with you. No matter what you've done, it doesn't make any difference. He still loves you, still cares about you. And sometimes he doesn't necessarily be pleased with our actions, but he's pleased with us. Because his son Jesus has paid the price for our sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. You know, one of these days we're going to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ that will cause such a demonstration upon the earth that the people will be able to look at the church and be wowed at Jesus. We'll be transformed in such a way that the Spirit of God, people will sense the Spirit of God on us. I feel we're awful close to that. I feel that God is saying we're entering into a new day, a new time, crossed over a line where the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be stamped upon his church in a new day and in a new way. Glory to God. Let us in, Lord. Don't let Faith Work Center miss it, God. Lord, help us. Stamp us, Lord, with your glory, with your presence, God. We don't want to miss out. We want the people to be able to look at us and recognize that we are Christians because of our love for one another, because the stamp of the love of God will be upon us. And we'll demonstrate it out in the world around us. And we'll show that love one with another. Hallelujah. We'll be transformed. Praise the Lord. There's going to come a transformation that one day when Jesus returns, we'll be transformed right out of here. We'll be taken up in glory with the Lord. I want to look at a couple of scriptures concerning that, because we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And because of that, we are able to partake of some of the benefits of the kingdom of God. And we know some of those benefits are, we talk about them in Psalms 103, that he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. Praise the Lord. There's none that's too big for him. He has taken the price. He has paid the price to see that you and I can walk in the benefits of the kingdom of God. Citizens of heaven. We're foreigners in this world in a sense. But foreigners sometimes, especially when it comes to battles, foreigners go in there to overtake a country. Sometimes there'll be people go in first to try to see the layout of the land, just as the way they did when Joshua went into the land of Canaan. He sent spies in to be able to spy out the land. They were looking around. They weren't really doing anything to take over the land that time other than seeing what the land was like. Well, you and I have come into the kingdom of this world as citizens of heaven coming in. We take a look around and we try to figure out how to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ in the darkness of this world. That's what we're here for. And that's why Jesus said, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's saying to you and I today, pray that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, will come to Prince Edward Island, will come into this environment, will come in such a way that the principles of the kingdom of God will be administered on our island, that the kingdom of God will come into our entertainment system, that the kingdom of God will come into our school system, our educational system, our medical system, our justice system, that the influence of the kingdom of God will come in such a fashion that heaven will begin, or pardon me, that earth, Prince Edward Island, begin to look like heaven. Praise God forever. One good example is that I don't read anywhere where abortion is in the kingdom of heaven, as any part of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. You know, in PEI, we're already up one on that one. Praise God, because there's no abortions done on Prince Edward Island. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Because God says, my life is precious. And the life that I minister into the human race comes from my very spirit. And it is very precious. And it is not my will to see it snuffed out before it is even demonstrated upon the earth. For the life of my son has come that everyone can enjoy in the life of God and in the life of the kingdom. Therefore, look at the precious life of every individual that comes into this world and realize that I have ignited it. And therefore, I will protect it, says the Lord. And as you hold fast to your hope in Christ, you will see the attitude and the atmosphere of heaven released upon your very environment. Hallelujah. You know, that means that he wants to bring the principles of the kingdom of heaven into your workplace. He wants to bring the kingdom of heaven into your school. He wants to bring the kingdom of heaven into the seniors' homes. We can't neglect our seniors, folks. It's pretty huge. You know, that's one of the major parts of our population today. And just as there is abortions taking place all around the world, there's laws just waiting to be passed to do away with the seniors as well. God's life is... You know, the life of God is precious in every individual, and you and I are not called, man is not called to snuff it out in any way. Hallelujah. We're being transformed. You and I are being transformed. You and I are being changed. And you and I change our environment around us. That's how God's kingdom will be established upon the earth. As you and I are transformed, he will transform our environment as well. Because as we cry out to him, as we pray, the very environment itself will be changed. Prayer is a mandate that God has given you and I upon the earth. Prayer is something that you and I have been specifically told to do and never let up on. Hallelujah. I feel God speaking to me this morning. I know he's given me an impression about prayer this last little while that I'm trying to be diligent and carrying it through. Sometimes I get a little confused. Marie kind of challenged me last week. And it got on me a number of times through this week when she got up here and said, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't get to sleep, wake up, get up and pray. Don't just lay there for an hour saying, why can't I get to sleep? Get up and pray. That happened to me a number of times. I kept hearing Marie. So I get up and pray. Amen. And even this morning when I woke up at 4:30 and I couldn't get back to sleep. And I said, Lord, I want to be sharp for the morning. I want to be bright. I don't want to be tired. And I don't want to get up. And after a while, I got up and began to pray. Prayed for an hour or so. And then I tried to get some more sleep. Because Sunday morning, I don't want to be kind of... But we can't neglect that time to pray. And when God is calling us to pray, we can't always choose the time to pray. Sometimes God wants us to pray. He wants to pray now. And sometimes in the middle of the night, I do notice that there's less distractions. And my mind is not quite so distracted in the middle of the night when you wake up. And you don't think of things that you got to do or things that you want to do. Because, you know, even making phone calls, well, who are you going to call that time of night? But he's called us to pray. He wants us to pray. He wants us to have a revelation of prayer. One of the things that he said for us to pray, we find it in Matthew 9, verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. One of the things that we need to pray, this is a direct instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that you and I are called to pray for is to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest field to gather in the harvest. So we must not neglect that. Pray that God will send the Lord workers out into his field in order to bring the harvest in. Now, I just got to move right along here because my time is kind of going here, but I want to speak on this one just a little bit. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Jesus is telling his disciples when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's gone out to pray and he's really pouring his heart out before God. When they arrived at that place, he said, pray that you don't give into temptation. That's from the Message translation. Pray that you Don't give in to temptation. Let me say this another way. Pray, stop there, that you don't give in to temptation. He's not necessarily saying, pray, dear God, keep me from temptation, Lord. Lord, don't let me fall to temptation. But what he's saying is, pray so that in your prayer life, you will be kept from temptation, from falling to temptation. In other words, I could be praying for Lorette about an issue in her life. I could be praying for the church. And because I'm praying, there is power released to keep me from falling into temptation. Pray so that we will not fall into temptation. Not necessarily saying, meaning, praying all the time, Lord, keep me from temptation. Lord, help me to not fall into temptation. But he is saying, pray. And in your praying, in our practice of prayer, in our prayer life, in our continuously being in that attitude of prayer, that attitude will keep us from falling into temptation. That's pretty awesome to me. Spending time praying that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into the harvest field. If we were to concentrate on that and go head toward that in our prayer, that would help us to keep us from temptation. There'd be power released. Glory to God. I tell you one thing, God wants to protect his prayers. God wants to protect those who will agree with him in prayer. God wants to put them in a bubble, as it will, where so that they will pray and call out his will upon the earth. Because for the most part, prayer is agreeing with what God said. With agreeing with what God has told us that was to come to pass. He said, pray that his kingdom will come, his will be done upon the earth. How many of you believe that his kingdom is going to come in every manifestation possibly upon the earth? Do we believe that? Isn't it funny he said to pray for it? Isn't that kind of funny? Why would he say to pray for it if he declared it was going to come anyway? We just sung this morning that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. We know that from Scripture it will be. Then why did he ask us to pray? Well, it seems like from Scripture, and I like the statement by Charles Wesley. He said at one time, it seemed like God can't do anything upon the earth unless somebody on earth asks him to. Well, that lines up with Scripture because in Genesis chapter 1, God made man out of the dust of the ground. And he said he gave him authority over the earth. So the person who has authority over the earth is going to have to give authority for anything to be done. So when man prays out God's will upon the earth, we are releasing God's will to be done upon the earth and for him to do just that. Prayer is important. So when you are praying, if you want God's life, in your life, if you want God's will to take place in your life, if you want God's passion to be in your life, then it's important for you to pray that out. God, I agree that you have a plan for my life. God, I'm so glad that you know what's better for me, even than what I know. God, you know what will bring me the most joy in life far better than what I know. So, Lord, I want your will to be done and not mine. I want you to do what you desire in my life. You know, if we just don't bother praying that way and say, well, God, I know what I want in life. I want this and this and this. I want good things to happen. I want to be filled with joy, and I know what will bring me that joy. So these are the things that I want to happen in my life. And that we'll just relieve God of his, hard work to do anything in our life. Well, he won't do anything. He won't do anything in our lives. He'll just let us go our own way. He'll say, okay, see what you can do. Well, most of us have seen what we can do, and it's not all that pretty. But God. So we say, Lord, your will, your plan, your purpose, come and accomplish it in my life. The central significance, E.M. Bounds, the great prayer warrior, said, the central significance of prayer is not in the things that happen as the result of prayer. Let me read that again. The central significance of prayer is not in the things that happen as a result of prayer. In other words, if we're asking for a particular thing in our prayer, we're asking for a beautiful day tomorrow. The significance is not as if there's a beautiful day tomorrow. It is in the deepening intimacy and unhurried communion with God that comes through prayer. That's the significance. The deepness of intimacy that we have with God that comes through prayer. You might get up and today, well, Lord, it's just an awesome day. I feel great and wonderful and good. And I just can't think of anything to ask you that I need today. Well, so we don't pray. So we're missing an opportunity to have intimacy with God. Then we certainly need to pray for somebody else. And most of our prayer actually should be for somebody else, for somebody outside of us, whether it be the church or whether it be somebody. The vast amount of our prayers should be for others, should be in a place of interceding. It should be, you know, bringing people into Christ and so forth. It shouldn't be for ourselves. It should be for other people. Let me say that again. Most of our prayers should be outside of our own personal needs. It shouldn't take that long to bring our personal needs before God. We can say that pretty quick. God, I need this. I'm kind of tight this month in finances. I want you to ask you to help me in this. I have something wrong with my body, Lord. Would you heal me, God, in that area? I have a relationship that's not just right, God. Can you move in that area? I'm going to believe you now, God, that you're going to move. Now I'm going to spend the rest of my time praying for other people and for other things. Most of our praying should be for others. That's what prayer is all about, is standing in the gap for others. I like this statement I heard somewhere. You know, when Peter was in prison, in the book of Acts, Peter was in prison and an angel came and let him out. Somebody said, the angel fetched Peter out of the prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. It was prayer that went up to heaven that caused an angel to be dispatched to get Peter out of the prison. Prayer is so crucial. It brings intimacy with God. Another thing that we're to pray for, James chapter 5:16, is pray for one another. Pray for one another. Folks, we miss an awesome opportunity to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have people that we can go to and say, look, I need prayer in this particular area. It just seems that I can't break through in prayer myself. I need prayer to help me to pray. I'm having a problem in this area. I need prayer. Will you pray with me? James also tells us to confess our sins one with another. That's something we need to be willing to do as well. That when we miss it and do something wrong, oh, we need to confess it. I believe we'd be a whole lot better off in confessing it to some individual, not to everybody. You don't have to go throwing your dirty laundry out everywhere, but there should be somebody that we confess to. Say, look, I've missed it here. I've missed it and done wrong. And sometime Debbie and I will be in the house, and if we talk about something, we say something, we start thinking back about what we said. That was wrong, say. We shouldn't say that. We shouldn't think like that. This person, who knows what's happening in this person's life and so forth. Just confess it with one another. Tell each other that we shouldn't be talking like that. We need one another to be, we need to be accountable to one another in that light. Praise the Lord. Our prayer has to be in faith when we pray. I'm going to read you this little story, and then we're going to close. It's can we believe God that you and I can make a difference, that we actually do carry something on the inside of us, that God lives on the inside of us? Can we believe that? And if we do, then we know that when we go to somebody to pray, there's going to be something that is going to happen. There's going to be a change that's going to take place. Can we believe that? Can we believe that there's a power in us that can be, that come forth and actually influence somebody else's life? Quickly. We don't have to spend a lot of time, but just quickly. I know that I carry God in me, so that if I do something, if I pray for somebody, if I do some kind act, it's like God doing it for them. And so it brings release. And so when we pray, it's important for us to believe that God's going to answer that prayer. Believe in prayer. A tale is told about a small town that had been historically a dry town. But then a local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly after, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is sure. The tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians don't. They weren't taking responsibility for it. Well, we need to come to a place where we believe that when we come before God, whether we sense any goosebumps or His presence or no matter what, when we come before God and begin to pray, that we have an audience with Him. We have an audience with our awesome God. Wonderful Jesus. Stand with me, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you, God, for every single individual in this place. I thank you that they are a blessed people. I thank you that your blessing is upon each and every one. I thank you, dear God, that as we have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, by his power, by his spirit resides in each one of us. That, God, we, each one of us, carries the supply, a unique supply of the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ today. I just speak blessing upon that supply right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just praise you, Father, for what you're doing in this place. God, I praise you for what you're doing in this ministry, God. I just thank you so much for each and every one, dear God. I sense such a peace and harmony amongst your people, God. I thank you for it. Lord, as we have been praying, Father, that a spirit of unity would fall upon us, dear God, I thank you for the manifestation of that in an ever-increasing way, God. I thank you for that awesome spirit of harmony and unity amongst your people, Lord. I see, God, your power being demonstrated in the midst of that harmony and unity, God. Sicknesses being healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Demonic spirits being cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father. Relations being healed because of the unity and power of the Holy Spirit amongst us, God. Because of that power, Father, I see that demonic forces are just absolutely bound up and can't do anything because of the people, the flavor of unity is flowing through the body of Christ. I thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, God, that each one of us would have a strong impression as that when we go out into the world, that we carry the power of the Holy Spirit with us and that we can influence those that we come in contact with in the name of Jesus Christ. We worship you now, Lord, for your goodness. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, speak blessing over you, the blessing of God. You know, I do this most weeks from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And sometime when I haven't done it in the past, I've gotten rebuked for it. In love. You're saying that we need the blessing. We need the blessing. Now, which shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord God, being careful to command, to do all his commandment, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now, as I read this scripture talks about a people who are under the old covenant of God. And now we are under the new covenant of God. So whatever we find in this blessing, we can there's something greater for us. It'll include all these blessings, but there's something even greater for us. Because we're under a new covenant with better promises. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and...